Folks, hello there, and welcome to Divas, Diamonds, and Dollars podcast, where we empower today's lady boss who seeks whole life strategies for living their best life. We bring you the key success principles to support you as you grow into the best version of yourself, sharing key insights on personal finance, leadership, and business to help empower you with the tools and strategies to help you get ahead and succeed at a higher level. Gentle persons, I am Larissa Troach.
And I'm Cecilia Benford.
Your question du jour. When did caring for others become so politically charged? I do not understand the madness. First Budweiser and now Target, two large corporations finding themselves in the crosshairs for attempting to be inclusive in their marketing, Budweiser's campaign and product line, Target with their LGBTQ items on the store shelves, right? I mean, if you don't like it, ignore it. Anyway, my question du jour part B is, does being loud make you right? So given our increasingly shrinking world, we feel learning to work together and welcome other ethnicities will create new opportunities for growth. Shame, 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 shame. But that is our topic du jour.
All right, okay. Well, I tell you, we probably could spend quite a few days on this topic. So it's kind of one I am passionate about. And now, anyway, so I have to think about, you know, some things on this subject. But before I do, it is February, and so we're approaching the Black History Month, as most of us know it to be, in a different way. And so here's a public service announcement. And remember that we're talking about a cosmopolitan world. So I hope that every time, you know, something is offered in this area, that's what you think about, okay? So a lot of times people say, well, why do I care? Or what was, this is beyond, I think, why do I care is more apropos here than, you know, what's in it for me. But, you know, maybe what's in it for you too. So here we are. National Park Service. National Park Service is in every state. I enjoy the parks immensely. And so when I saw this particular story, I was really excited about it. So here's the title: National Park Service taps Piney Woods for the Civil Rights Network. Remember Piney Woods, Larissa?
Very exciting. I'm leaning in. Tell me more.
Okay. And so the reason this is important to Larissa and I, first and foremost, our grandparents met at Piney Woods. This was the first Black boarding school ever. And it has a marvelous history. Actually, you should look it up. I'm not going to, you know, spend that time here, but it's a wonderful history. The people who come from Piney Woods and what they've been able to do and what Dr. Jones instituted there. So as they were tapped for the Civil Rights Network, so 2 years ago, first and foremost, the Piney Woods Country Life School Historic District was added to the National Register, which is part of the National Park Service, right? Federal agency, right? And so now they have been asked, they've been placed on the National African American Civil Rights Network, which brings more, obviously, notoriety, interest, and a lot of things that go along with it. And so many can go there and read about the history there. You know, obviously, you can look this up. So that is my public service announcement. If nothing else, you can say a little known fact that you didn't know anything about. So I hope that, you know, some of you will look into that. But this is a big deal, obviously.
And so Piney Woods is in Mississippi. We spent our summers in Jackson, Mississippi with our grandparents. And so our paternal grandparents had the connection to Piney Woods. And we didn't go out a lot, but the times we did go were memorable. So that is very fascinating. Thank you so much for sharing that, ma'am.
Yeah, all right. All right. And on with the rest of, as they would say, rest of the story. We're going to talk about your company culture. Okay. But to kind of set this up, remember I said we're talking about a cosmopolitan view. So we want, oh, I'm sorry.
If I could give us a little bit
I
of a
did. I see, I told you I was excited about this episode.
I
So
know,
I
I wanted to.
apologize.
No need, but I just want to give our listeners a framework so that as we are talking, they are following our line of thought. And what I wanted to share with you, and what I hope you take away from this episode, if you will, is moving from otherness to one another. And you're like, well, what does that even mean? I have all my pearls of wisdom either when I'm out walking or I'm in the shower. You take a pick. But this morning I was thinking about it, how corporations, you think about this because I think about it all the time, how they keep reducing services and they keep reducing any type of interpersonal interface. Like, look, we want your money. We just don't have to talk to you. And God forbid that we should ever have to look at you in
Oh
the
yeah.
face. And
Not
so I'm
yet.
so conscious of how big box banks, which I do not use, I tell you, credit unions, at least start there. Not wonderful, but better. You cannot find a live teller almost anywhere. And the hours are shrinking because, I had to take some checks to the bank for our rent deposits. And well, they close at 5 o'clock. Now, what self-respecting bank in a big city closes at 5 o'clock? Well, the one at Wells Fargo. You've heard it here first. But anyway, the message that I receive whenever I look at all the lack of services and how to keep shutting back, everything's getting automated, less people, fewer hours, is you humanoids are getting in the way of our profits. And that is such an oxymoron. Because from television to movies to the neighbor next door, there is a new kid in town, lots of them. So despite the negative messaging, history shows that when we welcome those who might not look like us, we are better for it. This doesn't mean losing any parts of yourself. Instead, it's an expansion of awareness and opportunity for all. And that is how we want you to wrap your mind around this topic of creating a culture of welcome. You are welcome here.
Okay. So that does set the backdrop. And in order to evolve, if you haven't, or to continue, when you're holding a cosmopolitan view of all the world creativity, first of all, with people and all that it brings, there are endless possibilities. So, how do you navigate the sometimes negative reception when you begin to speak about inclusivity? So, I mean, there was a quote I was reading, somebody's opinion thing, and the guy said, "I'd argue that we have become so sad, lonely, angry, and mean as a society, in part because so many people have not been taught or don't bother practicing to enter sympathetically into the minds of their fellow human beings." So you mentioned that, Larissa. That's that otherness thing. And we're over-politicized, while growing increasingly under-moralized and under-spiritualized, under-cultured, right? So, what is the alternative? Well, it's to rediscover the humanity's code. And so, it's based on the idea that unless you immerse yourself in the humanities, you may never confront the most important question: how should I live my life? So, we introduced this last week, and that's what we're going to talk about today when we talk about navigating, the world that we live in. So, as I mentioned, workplace culture is something that I really evolved into in my former career. And so, because of that, like what you said today, what's really happening about the anonymity of, everything. And I just know that's not a good thing, but let me give you, the top, let me just say, kind of what the first the value construct of what we know should happen, what should be. Okay. First and foremost, you know what? The company culture is a top-down situation. I have truly followed leaders. This is what drove me to be the leader that I became, because I'd see it. How the leader goes, how goes your organization? So when you say whether it's, CEO, the executive director, division chief, even a small business, whoever's at the head, because I can remember a small business that my husband worked for. And oh my gosh, that leader was not, I mean, it was really interesting to see what a bad leader of a small organization looks like. I mean, it was too much.
When it's a small
So
organization, nowhere to hide, they're really going to stand out.
that's right. That's right. Exactly. And,
Corporation, they can hide behind their ivory tower walls, but when it's a small company,
right.
they're
Right. That's right.
out.
So the leader sets the tone and the voice of the company. But a lot of times I know leaders who are just, maybe they're introverted or don't have their cojones to stand up and, do the right thing or whatever. But if they're silent, chaos can happen. Should you say something to that person? Well, I was the one that would, in a different way, perhaps, with respect to whoever the leader is, try to, have a conversation with that person. But let's going into that. So, and why do I believe that? As we previously talked about, values-based management is very important. If there are no company values, people will look at you. People will look at, well, what's happening in this organization. And so people who come from various experiences, all cultures, I mean, gosh, the workplace is the place you spend, the majority of your day. That pretty much says, we need to kind of figure this out, because I tell you, who wants to be in a hot zone for the majority of the day when things are not working well, okay, where people's values are all over the place? Integrity
That's a hot
is
button for me. That's
right.
dramatic.
It is for me. And so, I almost have to just stop there, because I just, before I could just go on and on about that. And so everything starts with that, how you lead your team, okay? Your integrity, your values will make sure that your organization, you're looking at, hopefully, that it's diverse. And diversity will certainly mean that everything must be handled in an equitable manner. And certainly, last but not least, what we're talking about, what Risa said, going from otherness to including everybody, making your organization inclusive. So, as I mentioned earlier, and I've said before, speaking up and speaking out. You know what? I think sometimes that can come from anybody. It doesn't necessarily have to be the leader. But you know what? If it is somebody else, leaders do sort of evolve, they stand up, right? They're gonna say something, they're gonna question some things. And so if you see something that's missing in your organization, be the one to ask the question or point out some of the concerns that you see. And sometimes I think people do see these things, but they don't know how. But once you bring it to their attention, they have an obligation to do something about it. And maybe you have to help somebody do that. I believe we can always help our leaders. And then, just again, I'm just kind of giving you, I want to set up this company culture how it should be, so values-based management, speaking up and speaking out, and then crafting a viable plan. Now, there are a lot of consideration that goes into this. And so this depends on your organization. Everybody's organization is different. And first and foremost, you do need to get the executive buy-in. I do. So I'll share a few of my experiences after making this comment. I will tell you, sometimes you don't get the executive buy-in.
Well,
So
no.
I was in a situation like that where, I had a chief, and then I was a chief underneath this chief, and then I had, a supervisor under me. And so when I went to the boss, and he just was like, he wanted to stay in his ivory tower with the door closed, do his thing. I mean, very, very regimented. And even to this day, since I still know this person, he has done well, no matter however way he did it, meaning he's moved up in the ranks, up soon to retire. So interesting when you look at how some things happen. But because I could not get this person to do some things, I actually talked to another supervisor. So we kind of just start doing things on our own for the organization. So you know what? Sometimes you just have to do different things, right? So that was one thing. And I want to say that we know a positive workplace is a good thing to have, but let me just say a couple things about why is that, right? And particularly today, this is not a brag, but just to give a good feeling of what can occur. When I had my I'm leaving the federal government ceremony, I had some people, and I was trying to keep this very small, but I had some people come up to me and say, "Oh my gosh, I was just getting ready to ask to come over to your organization, and you're leaving." So, good. It helps you were doing the right thing, and that the reputation was such that people knew that. But so what does that really mean? Well, it attracts talent because the person who said that actually had worked for me before, but there were some other people that were with him that it's kind of like the group wants to some people, hey, we want to come along. It also, as you're attracting talent, it drives engagement with people, right? It impacts happiness and satisfaction. And at the end of the day, particularly for me, it was really because of the high ops temple mission that was always going on somewhere. Somebody needed something right away. Very time constraint, a lot of time constraints. Well, it affects performance. Excuse me. And so sometimes people would tell me about what they were dealing with in their offices and about the negativity. So I wanted to just kind of throw that out there. Maybe we'll have a conversation about this again on something else. I'm not sure. Those are just a little few things about why this is important. Excuse me. But the other thing is, let me talk about looking. So what if you work where you have different customers in various other places? Well, let me tell you how this works. So I work for the Air Force, and I had a period of time where I was doing staff support at the headquarters level to support various bases in certain areas. I discovered that different places have a culture. I mean, nobody had to tell me that. I learned after working with certain people, wow, they were different. And because they were different, I needed to manage how I worked with them. It really was helpful understanding that. So when we say you treat everybody fairly, absolutely. But fairly doesn't mean that you treat them the same in terms of getting your work done. So it was really helpful to me to understand that everybody has a workplace culture in terms of how they work with, say have headquarters or staff people. And I see sometimes that people don't necessarily, one, understand that, pay attention to it. But for me, it actually helped me get some things done as well. When you understand people, it means you can relate to people and people appreciate that. And remember what we've said on many occasions is it is about relationships. So that's looking outward. Well, let me talk about looking inward. Let's say you inherit an organization and there are certain people. We all have inherited people that we didn't actually hire. And let's talk about the gossiper. You know what? A gossiper can be very poisonous to your organization. Gossiper is somebody who's always, talking about something and just keeps stuff going. You need to shut that down. So you may not be able to avoid interactions with the person, but as soon as you hear it or, they bring it up, because I've seen leaders get caught up into a conversation like they're one of the, oh, they're one of the crap. Come on, that is not what you should be doing, right? So I suppose, as they say, the water cooler, where everybody's chatting around, you have to be very careful about gossiping your organization because that can be very toxic. And so when that happens, you need to redirect the conversation. Conflicts will rise in your organization. So I'm speaking of bringing about unity in your organization because it is about the people first and foremost, but ultimately it's to get the work done. So you need to understand, what people bring to the organization so you can help them feel a part of. Maybe they aren't good at one thing, but they're good at something else. Find ways to embrace everybody where they're all contributors, to the organization. And when you have, if there's conflict, sometimes we need to handle conflict in the organization with a heart of curiosity. And because, what's at the bottom of the conflict, right? By asking questions and which, because sometimes people just say, well, I don't really care. I just need the work done. Well, you really maybe need to understand what's going on, right? And so, or if there's conflict between, two workers, get in there, try to figure what's going on, and just be sensitive to both sides, And last comment about this, Risa, and I'm gonna give it back to you, is that I think a lot of us don't realize how our tones are, one, to certain people. Because we think certain things about them, it comes out in your tone. And people think, oh, I'm even keel, smiling, and speaking the same way to everybody. No. And then some of it's just one's personality. It's nothing like dealing with a caustic person or sarcastic that leads one to be concerned. Well, what do they think about you and all that? So all of that is. Some of those skill sets that people don't necessarily talk about. Why? Because they're gray, they're touchy-feely, they're the things nobody wants to talk about. But ultimately, as we have led you into this conversation about being cosmopolitan, being open, bringing everybody together, these are things you should be on the lookout for.
Well, you certainly raised a lot of salient points that I hadn't necessarily thought about, but critical to the conversation. And in particular, when you are in a quote unquote corporate work setting and or your own business, which, big or small, it's top down is the primary takeaway. If you are the one, right? You're the decision maker. So really it is up to you to set the tone and create the right type of welcoming environment while knowing that there will be some sand traps and or hiccups along the way. Good intel, sister mine. Now, I'm going to talk to you from the other side. I guess I'll call it personally speaking, because as with everything, it starts with the woman in the mirror. So I want to talk to you about the personal side of it, and I'll just take a little peek back to Cecilia's point last week about talking to folks in the grocery store or popping into the neat new tea shop on the corner. Now, I confess I'm not likely to do that, except possibly once in a while. And I will say that I'm reminded, for example, of a couple weeks ago when I was in my favorite haunt, aka HomeGoods. Don't get me started. And somehow a woman caught my eye to ask my opinion about her hospital choices. I mean, we're talking mega random, because it wasn't like we were discussing the weather or anything. She's just like, "Well, what do you think about?" I don't know how I got caught up in her eye view, but I mean, to the point, you know, we took a deep dive. This is not, would you like this colors? No. She's showing me her idea book on her phone. She's scrolling through the pictures, and we had, you know, what her couch looked like and what her curtains. I mean, we were up in the middle of the store. So I just thought that was very interesting, and we just kind of had a really deep convo with a stranger. And it was so random, but I still think it was worthwhile to take my time for a few friendly moments with someone, you know, also shopping alone, coincidentally. And the point will be open to random encounters of the friendly kind. Now, it only takes a few minutes of your time, and you know that might have uplifted her day. I'm guessing there were some things going on. And again, from the personal viewpoint, I want you to expect good things and express yourself accordingly. We all know those negative types. They think everything is, you know, under a cloud, it's raining, it's the sun never shines with these people. However, if you take a different viewpoint, and you know, where we talked about it last week, remember the international peace symbol, a welcoming smile. Start all your encounters this way and reap the benefits. You do not have to be doom and gloom. Look for the positive, it is really there. And here's something that we don't necessarily think about, but what about if you take on the role of being a good host? Anytime you enter a room, approach other people in a friendly, open manner. You should strive to greet your host first if you're at a, you know, structured event, if possible, but then look around the room and definitely reach out to the wallflower, the shy one who could really use a friendly face right now. And no need to wait for strangers to approach you. You make the overture, and voila, strangers no more. And I have to say, this one is critical, and because I know it happens, don't assume. From rumors to stereotypes to misunderstandings, there are a lot of ways for things to go wrong. I mean, that's the reality of it all. And it's all, I feel, based on assumptions people make or they've heard. And for example, you know, I'm reminded of the movie Rush Hour. There were three of them, so I'm thinking it was the first one. When Chris Tucker's character met Jackie Chan for the first time, and the latter only smiled and nodded without saying a word. And then so Chris raised his voice because he assumed Jackie A had a hearing problem, or, you know, did not speak the language. It's like, definitely not the case. Chris says, "Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?" You know, enunciating in a very loud, possibly condescending tone, but you know, it got the intended reaction in the audience. But the point being, you know, Jackie was just listening politely, silently, and he chose not to respond immediately to the nonsense, if you will, coming out of Chris's mouth. So my point being is, don't assume the other person is hard of hearing. Perhaps you really just need to restate the sentence using different words, for example, or slow down your rate of speech. I am on the receiving end of that all the time, because I will throw out my three words of Spanish in a minute. Now, you know, I know a little bit of Spanish, and I'm actually probably know more than I say I know. But when I use my conversational Spanish, if you will, then the response that I get, you know, is like, "Oh, she speaks my language." Boom! And they just take off at a rate. No, I can't follow. Could you just slow down a little bit? Más despacio. Repita, por favor. Slow down and repeat it. You know, and then we can have that conversation. Now, that's kind of oversimplified those two examples, but I hope you get the gist. When you are communicating with someone new, I think my style of speech uses a lot of colloquialisms and definitely some old English from all the reading that we talked about last week that I used to do. You know, I just pick these up and they're part of my vernacular, but that's not everyone's vocabulary. And so you have to kind of really consider, if you get that puzzled look or the deer in the headlights response,
Oh
maybe
yeah.
you
Oh
need
yeah.
to restate it a little bit differently.
Sure.
But don't give up. Just try it again. And don't generalize. So if you remember, the point of today's conversation is to not only notice diversity, but to embrace the differences and help others feel welcome in your orbit. And what do I want you to take away from that? First of all, please practice random acts of welcoming. I already told you that lady in the store needed an ear. You have an ear. You have two of them. I'm pretty sure of it. So give someone a few minutes of your time. You know, it just can make someone's day, and they go around, you know, they walk away feeling special that you noticed, seen, and heard. I direct your attention to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I'm just saying, people want to matter. And you know, I really, like I said, C made some salient points when she was talking about the corporate world, and that is so key. I don't know why I didn't write that down. You know, having a cosmopolitan, open, welcoming, inclusive outlook, it does attract talent. The word does get out. People would come to me as like, you know, when I was a regional manager, it's like, well, I want to work for you. And I was like, oh, you know, because I'm just treating people like people. I can't, you know, I want you to do your work, but I know there's a human that I'm asking to do this work. And you're favorable, it creates a favorable brand and reputation in the wider sphere, inside and outside of your organization, and it improves morale and staff engagement. So it's not like we're asking you to do these things just because it makes you a more wonderful person, which it will, but it also has actual benefits that you can receive from, you know, embracing a more inclusive outlook as you deal with the world at large.
Hey, well, I think you said a few things that certainly that I agree with, and that I might would have said that I don't need to, but I think you kind of covered some things. Let me just say, and using some different words, perhaps, when, you know, because the word otherness really was what struck me here. We're not talking about uniformity of everybody. We don't want everybody to be the same. They're not the same. We're talking about unity of how we can all work together, bring people together. You know, I kind of started off with a negative connotation. And when you look at the cultures, the arts, Risa, you go to different things. I mean, you shared something recently that clearly it's not your culture, but it was something that brought beauty into your sight, into your heart. I do the same thing. I look for that sort of thing. And we have a lot of it. And unfortunately, you hear some people want to kind of shut that down. But, you know, culture and the liberal arts help us in this area where we are truly entering into a subjective experience because it's whatever the vision of the world through that artist or, and a lot of people, and sometimes I'm not talking about big artists, there are street artists, for heaven's sake. There are artists, there are creative people, okay? So let me just say creative people. A lot of people have special niches. You know, these do-it-yourselfers have great projects, right? So the point is, you know, starting with curiosity. Embracing the desire to welcome somebody else's diversity, what they bring, how we can, you know, just kind of meld these things together. We used to call that a melting pot. Somehow that's kind of gone away. And so we've lost that art, but, you know, we have the chance to do better than what we have. And I would submit to you that certain people try to use some terminology as dog whistles. And so I was in a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and somebody felt like because of how people are viewing DEI that it shouldn't be talked about, or should they back off? And I said, whoa, wait, that you're going too far with this. First of all, nobody told you to back off. As far as I know, nobody's come to to you all with that. So why would you do that, first of all? Secondly, you don't have to even use those terms. Larissa and I have used a lot of words today that represent diversity, equity, and inclusiveness. It's not about the words. They're not things. It's action. It's the action that we take. How are we inclusive of other people? How do we treat other people equitably? And so, Gina and I both share the thing about, our passion for people. And so, take that on as an effort so that you can develop your cosmopolitan outlook. That's the way we should think about the world. And really, when you kind of told your little public story, that really, sometimes when I've had one of those public experiences, it's like, wow. In a way, it's like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Wasn't anything I planned. But you could sort of step back at it. Really, can I ever think that I had a negative situation like that? I think these are more always positive because it's always that you learn something about somebody that you once certainly didn't know, because we're talking about strangers a lot of time. And sometimes just talking to a person, even if it's somebody you know, and I mean, we can learn a lot about people that, wow, who knew? And then finally, I do have a better feeling, but this is what it makes you do. It's like, okay, I need to remind myself, do not, try to avoid, try to work through those assumptions that we make, because we make them. And so I think the more you are talking to people, the less you may make some assumptions. Just because somebody's frowning and not smiling doesn't mean, they have any thought about you for that matter.
Oh, no,
We don't
they're
know.
100% not thinking about you. They're lost in their own world. And that's the
Right.
thing you don't think about when someone thinks such. No, they're not. I don't
Yeah.
say they don't care about you at all. They have their own things to think about. And you are like not a speck in their eye.
Exactly. And if you see something that may be getting in the way at work, then ask the person, take them aside. But that's how we want to navigate this world. So first and foremost, you should craft a working policy for yourself. What would your own personal cosmopolitan outlook look like if you're not there? Okay. And even if you think you're there, I mean, there's always ways we can do some other things. And like I said, I mean, I just had so, I mean, even recent, I mean, there's just so many experiences. If you go to the doctor, even sometimes just striking up a conversation with somebody. I mean, so I could say a lot of I means about that. But anywho, you don't have to agree with anybody's one-liner. That's also probably a mistake a lot of times. And just listen. There's a biblical. It's probably more than one scripture that talks about be quick to listen and slow to speak. And there's a lot of value in that. But spend some time on what it means to you as both an individual and how you can incorporate your welcoming posture, plan, outlook into one your organization. It can be done. Sometimes it's done subtly. Sometimes some big changes need to be made. But a big one, Larissa, that you mentioned is that I have found it is talking to the wallflower. That opens up really a lifetime of relationships, I have found for sure. So, with that, what are we going to talk about next week? Now, if you thought this was interesting, I know everybody has a thought about. What in the world has happened to etiquette? Probably a lot of people can't spell it because they're so busy being into their own thing. So stay tuned. That's what we're going to talk about next week. Any last comments from you, Larissa?
I will hold that thought for our next exciting episode, and we will see you then. Cheers.